Hey everyone, welcome to a special bonus edition of Locked On Lakers. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers get bad injury news on Friday afternoon and then go out and beat the Hawks on Friday night. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, and obviously sometimes on Saturdays. No matter how or where you get your podcast, it's always free. It's never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to watch excited people on exciting nights of basketball for the Lakers deliver this podcast. It did not start off well. Friday got off to a bad start. The Lakers announced that Austin Reeves with a hamstring problem would be miss at least a couple of weeks of ball. Lonnie Walker, who had the tailbone contusion, now has knee tendonitis. He's also going to be out for at least a week or two. And then
we'll at least 2 weeks.
At least 2 weeks. Right. Yeah. So these guys are out for a bit. Troy Brown Jr. missed the game on Friday night. Remember, he left the game on Wednesday with an injury. So
quad, at this point, they have not given any timeline with Troy Brown. So
no,
maybe that bodes well for tonight against Sacramento, but he was nonetheless unavailable. So the Lakers dealing very shorthanded.
Very shorthanded, to the point that the Lakers so shorthanded that they signed a veteran 2-3, it's kind of a shooting guard, small forward, Sterling Brown, 6'5" guy. So he's not on the 4-5 side or 3-4 side of the swingman, kind of whatever that word is I'm looking for. We'll just move on.
Graph.
But he is. It's a 1 second show.
Spectrum.
We're not going to waste our
range.
Yes, range, spectrum, all of those work. But it's like you're playing pyramid. Pass. Mm-hmm. We have 12 and a half minutes. Pass. We'll come back to it at the end. So we'll get into all these roster moves. We'll get into what it means for the Lakers long-term to be playing without these guys, starting in Sacramento Saturday night. But they for a team that was wounded going in, Andy, they took a Hawks team that was certainly vulnerable, not playing very well. And really showed something, I think, in the first quarter. Like, you weren't sure what this game was going to be, and the Lakers told you what it was going to be in the first quarter with a very strong effort, outscoring Atlanta by 9, and then 12 in the second quarter.
Yeah, they came out, and on both sides of the ball, they really put the screws to Atlanta. Like, offensively, even acknowledging Atlanta's defense is just wretched. Yes. I thought the Lakers were executing what they wanted to do really well, and they looked sharp out there, and they looked purposeful. And obviously having LeBron back after the game he missed on Wednesday makes a huge difference. And then defensively, they were really, really active and aggressive, and they did a great job making Trae Young really uncomfortable in the first half. Trae Young turned it on a lot more in the second half.
But he had 17 in the second half, or 17 in this third quarter, I should
right,
say.
But
the Lakers were already up by a really large margin at that
right,
point.
He was 3 of 10 for 11 points. He got to the line 6 times, made 5 of them, but they had him really uncomfortable. I thought all three of the main guards who played, Russ, Schroeder, and Beverly, were all terrific defensively and all really, really active. And then Juan Toscano-Anderson also took some time checking Trae Young, and he really used his length to extremely well.
Yeah, Christie had a few possessions on him.
And they used that defense, too, to create a lot of their offense. They spent a lot of the first half in transition, just getting to the paint, and they built up a massive lead in that first half.
And it was one of these nights. Like, Atlanta, I guess, probably reminds teams a lot of what the Lakers were at the beginning of the year. Atlanta seemed in a giving mood Even when they're not turning the ball over, they only had 12 turnovers in the game, although it felt like more than that. The offense was very undisciplined. It was very disjointed. And the Lakers were, you know, the Atlanta missed a lot of shots early too. Like, in the Lakers were, you know, fortunate, but they also took advantage of it. And where there have been times over the course of this season where teams seemed willing to gift the Lakers some opportunities, and the Lakers were like, no, please. No, that's not necessary. Friday night, they took advantage of what the Hawks were willing to give them. And look, I mean, I forget which game it was we were talking about this, Andy, because now, I mean, they are starting to pile up some wins. The Lakers now 18-21. This makes 6 of 7, I believe, they've won.
They are, Brian, 1.5 games behind Phoenix now for the 8 seed, 2 games behind Golden State for the 6 seed, like the actual you're in the playoffs seed.
Right. I don't want to get bogged down in this point yet, because I'll talk about it more probably for Monday's show. People know that we're from St. Louis. That's not, you know, that's something we've talked about a lot. And the in 2019, the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup. It was a very exciting moment in my sports lifetime. And January 3rd of that season, not only were the Blues out of the playoffs, they were the worst team in the NHL. And they went on to win the Stanley Cup that year. So hockey is admittedly a strange sport. My point in telling this story is you can, there is time to turn things around. You can make some interesting stuff happen. So we'll maybe talk a little bit more about that next week. I mean, LeBron was excellent on Friday night, 10 of 19 from the floor. He had 10 assists. He had, 25 points. He had 7 rebounds. He was the catalyst for a lot of what the Lakers did. When they needed a bucket, he got it at the rim and all that kind of stuff. But he didn't have to drag the team across finish line like he did on his birthday in Atlanta. Like, that was a LeBron fueled win there. He only played 33 minutes in this game, which for him is a relatively light load. Meanwhile, Schroeder, coming off the 32-point game, gave you 21. You got 19 from Thomas Bryant on again, efficient, 8 of 12 from the floor, 13 rebounds from him. And Andy, don't look up. I'm sorry, I should mention Russ before all the Russ people get angry. 18 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 7 of
14.
Russ
played a nice game.
Had a really nice game. And so, just so make sure people don't yell at us on the YouTube comments page, which they usually do, if we don't give enough shine to Russ, Kendrick Nunn had 23 points. 23 yeah. points, 9 of 16 shooting, 3 of 7 from three-point range. He played almost 27 minutes in this game. Tell me if you agree with this, at least as a possibility. We talked when the Lakers, after that 2-10 start, they had that stretch of schedule where they were playing some really lousy teams. And one of the points that I made was, sometimes when you're not playing well, you need to play against subpar competition just so you can get your legs under you. You can get reps of doing it right. And then when you start to play against the good teams, you're more competitive. And that has been the case with the Lakers. Again, 16-11 now since that 2-10 start. It's not exactly the same for Kendrick Nunn, but I do wonder, in this situation where all these guys are hurt now and he's going to kind of have to play, there just aren't a lot of other choices. I wonder if it's possible that 3 or 4 or 5 games in a row for Nunn, where he knows he's going to play 20 minutes, even if he's struggling, 20 to 30 a night, could be the kind of thing that helps him get untracked in a way that makes him a useful player for the second half of the season.
I mean, it's possible, because Kendrick Nunn, before he joined the Lakers, was a much better player than this. I mean,
right.
He averaged, in his 2 seasons with Miami, he averaged 15 points a game, and Miami was a good team. So it's not like he was just putting up numbers on some garbage squad. Like, he was a part of that team that the Lakers beat in the finals, in the bubble. Mm-hmm. So again, he may have been still like a young, imperfect player there, but he wasn't this bad. You and I actually both thought heading into this season that he was, especially because he looked good in the preseason, we thought he was poised to have a really good season.
Keen basketball analysts we are.
Yeah, I mean, which we looked very, very wrong thus far into this year. But look, it helps to be playing in a way where you don't have to look over your shoulder, for sure. Like, I mean, he's not going to have the leeway of a Russ or Schroeder or Beverly. So he's going to have to produce on some level. Like he's not going to have just the ability to play through all mistakes, because
no, if he sucks, if he completely, but like, he's not going to be sitting in the corner in the cone of shame like he has been for most of the season.
I think it definitely will help knowing that he's probably going to have just more time while he's out there to actually discover a rhythm. And as you said, a few games in a row where the ball starts going through the hoop, and, you know, Sacramento, I imagine he's going to even get some more run because it's on the second end of a back-to-back. I'm sure, you know, even if LeBron ends up playing in this game, Darvin's going to be mindful of his minutes, probably mindful of Russ's minutes. I thought it was, you mentioned that LeBron only played 33 minutes in this game. I liked how, as you know, Atlanta made a bit of a push in the second half. There were a few times they got the game down to 10. And while I never thought there was any chance the Lakers were going to actually blow this game, you know, in situations like that, we've seen LeBron on the floor till the very end. Darvin, I think, very much intentionally, once he took LeBron out, he kept LeBron out. In part, I think, because he was confident enough that the team could pull this thing out, and frankly should pull this thing out. But also, too, if wants to play LeBron against Sacramento, you got to try to get that rest in for him. So yeah.
I mean, it's one of those deals where, right, you pull the ripcord if you have to, you know, get some of it. Yeah, look, every team makes a run. I mean, the people like love to yell at the Lakers for their fake comebacks in games that, you know, they fall down big. It hasn't happened as much lately. But, you know, it is very hard to boat race a team for 48 minutes. I mean, generally speaking, they're going to make some kind of run. But it's, you know, when you lose a third quarter by the way, the end of the third quarter, it looked like it was going to be worse. And the Lakers hit two threes late. Christie had one, I believe Schroeder had the other. Like, that pushed the lead back up, you know, six quick points at the end of the half or the end of the quarter. You know, they still lost that quarter by five, but that's the whole point of leading by 21 at the half. Is like, you have a little bit of wiggle room. Like, right, it's okay. Well, you know, obviously we'll have some more to talk about on Saturday. We'll see what happens, you know, going into Sacramento on the second night of a back-to-back against the Kings team that is still, you know, hanging in there and, you know, playing competent basketball, and right there in the playoff mix. It's, you know, that's a tough one, and we'll see, you know, who plays even. Bigger picture, like, I know Friday night looked really good. These next couple weeks are going to have some raggedy games in it. Like, there are going to be some times where this team just doesn't look good, where they struggle to score points, where they doesn't come together. Like, they don't have a lot of players right now, and you are reliant on guys to maybe sustain or play a little over their heads for a little longer than is reasonable to expect. But that's the value of stealing a game against Miami when LeBron doesn't play, of making sure you take care of business against an Atlanta team that, good God, the second half of the season, they look like they could completely implode. Like, the entire organization. I'm not just talking about lose some games. I mean, the organization looks like it could completely implode. So you take care of business in those games. And if you lose a couple, you're still, you know, you're not burying yourself again as the season, you know, moves into the second half. So, I mean, these are really important wins.
Yeah, it helps too that right now, I mean, as shorthanded as they're going to be, Dennis Schroeder is in a nice groove right now. Russ has been playing well. Thomas Bryant's been very good. Patrick Beverley's filling a role well. So, you know, it helps that the top guys behind LeBron right now providing that support are all playing really well. We mentioned the Lakers signed Sterling Brown to a 10-day contract. It's his sixth season. You know, he played a few years with Milwaukee, and that was a big reason that they signed him in particular.
I think so,
because,
yeah.
Oh, I know it is. Yeah. He has that familiarity with Darvin Ham, you know, the ability to, if you need to play him more minutes, Ham knows exactly the type of player that he is. Sterling Brown knows the type of stuff that Ham wants to run on the court. For fans who are unaware of this, Sterling Brown is the younger brother of Shannon Brown.
Yes.
And this is also, it kind of dawned on me as I was thinking about that. And, you know, we covered Shannon. Both actually really liked Shannon a lot when we covered him. When Shannon entered the league as a rookie in 2006, he was a teammate of LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
16-ish years later, LeBron is now playing with Shannon's younger brother, Sterling. That's kind of amazing, man.
It is. LeBron's been in the league for a long time.
That's because that was it. That when Shannon entered the league, that was LeBron's fourth season.
Yep.
So it's pretty amazing.
Shannon also, Brown, known for his explosive and athletic dunks, and also for being the reason the Lakers got rid of the carving station in the media room when they used to serve us those nice carved sliced meats, but they couldn't afford it anymore after they signed Shannon Brown.
Also, fun little nugget tonight, Cole Swider scored his first NBA points.
You ever seen a guy shoot faster than, you get that ball in his hands? He was hoisting.
He had been on the court maybe 20 seconds before. He was somebody who was highly aware, A, I've not scored yet this year. B, I may not play again.
May not play again.
March.
Yeah,
if
they had inbounded the ball to Swider, he'd have shot the ball from there. So I'm glad they didn't do that. All right. So obviously a lot more to talk about on Monday. We'll more about the injuries, more about the rotation. We'll know a little bit more about how things might shake out going forward. And good God, if the Lakers can steal one in Sacramento on Saturday night, that will make for a great weekend of Lakers basketball. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show. And before we go, Andy, we need to tell people about this.
Well, that Locked On Lakers is brought to you by LinkedIn. And as a small business owner or hiring manager, success in 2023 all depends on your team members. That's why you got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by using their targeting tools to match open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experience to help achieve your goals. LinkedIn goes beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, your company, and their 875 million member profiles to land the most qualified candidates. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants all in one platform. And that's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus the leading competitors. You want to set a tone in 2023 for your fiscal success right now from the jump, which makes this a critical time. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNBA. That's linkedin.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
And I want to tell people, of course, Andy, that this episode is brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. That's pro football. That's the college bowl season, which, you know, it all comes to an end on Monday, Andy. You want to know where to put your money. Basketball, Laker game Saturday night, the World Cup in 4 years when that comes back.
Never too early.
Never too early to really hone in on what's going on there. But how about the Premier League or things like that? There's soccer being played, Andy. They've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, which obviously you do, you can find those at BetOnline as well. Content Andy is king, and they've got plenty of it there. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. So head on to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. See everybody Monday.